Let's read this morning. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called Masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Our thought this morning is around this thought: keeping people from Christ. Keeping people from Christ. I want us to make some application this morning. Let's pray once again. Father, thank you for your word. We pray you will bless and work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Throughout the book of Matthew, we find that the Pharisees are trying to pose some questions that Jesus cannot answer. By the way, if you've been saved very long, you've had people ask you questions, hoping to trip you up, hoping to somehow mock you in your beliefs. We find in Matthew chapter 9, they said, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? Why is he behaving like that? Why is he hanging around those people? In chapter 12, they say, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And Jesus had just made a man whole, and they're criticizing. It's amazing to me that we find that our Savior, as He came to this world, came to save us, to seek us out, to save us, that these people, the religious leaders, were constantly in the realm or in the position of criticizing our Savior. Constantly. In chapter 12, they said, We would see a sign from Thee. If You're the one, why show us a sign? Good night. Weren't they paying attention? Weren't they watching? Weren't they listening? But all they wanted to see a sign. He says, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why were they going against some of those traditions? On another occasion, he says, Is it lawful for a man to put away his life for every cause? Trying to trip him up. Another occasion, he says, Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And of course, his classic answer there, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And our Savior, every time, would turn the tables on them. In chapter 22, they asked the question, which is the great commandment in the law? And I want you to notice, beginning in verse number 41 through 46, it says, While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now he's turning the tables, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. And he saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Interesting what he does this. And at this point, our Savior now goes after them, you may so say. For it's at this point we find that the Lord Jesus in chapter 23 of Matthew brings upon them some tremendous, really, indictments. He brings these indictments against a pseudo-pious practitioners. Pseudo meaning false. Pious, talking about their supposed religiosity or their spirituality, and it was false. It was not a real thing with them. And he refers to them and he uses a word called hypocrites. No doubt you've heard that word. No doubt you've used that word. No doubt you've heard people talk about Christians and say that they are hypocrites. And no doubt on occasion you've said, yes, that is true. And it is true. The real question is, can we look in the mirror and the face we behold, can we honestly say there is no hypocrisy there? Because I believe that one of the things is we notice when people say that just a bunch of hypocrites down there, it is something that turns people off and keeps people from Christ. And so we need to constantly be asking ourselves, am I hypocritical? In verse number 3, he makes the indictment that they did not practice what they preached. He says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. They're telling you, but he says, observe and do, but do not after ye their works, for they say, and do not. They expected others to do what they wouldn't even do. In verse 4 it says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Sometimes we lay out things and expect people to do things that we ought not expect. We don't really do themselves. One of the things that I have found is when we are very judgmental in our attitudes to people, we are really propelling them to be judgmental to us. And sometimes in our judgmental attitudes, we are setting ourselves up for folks to behold how inadequate we are to be judges. They are looking at and finding hypocrisy in our lives. In verse number 5 and 6, they even displayed what I might call symbols of false devotion. He says, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That was a little pouch, basically. They put the Word of God in, the law of God. And they would make it real broad so it could be seen upon them. Many times right on their forehead. Enlarge the borders of their garments. The priests were to wear a certain garment and the border was very important. So they made it even bigger to appear like they were even more pious. They loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. And he goes on, they said, oh, they loved to be called master. They loved to have the titles upon them. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, Brother Kimmel had sent out a newsletter to all the alumni of Midwestern Baptist College where I attended. And he got a real nasty reply for one of the alumni because he had made comment or made mention of this man and put his name there and did not put doctor in front of it. And he was really, really upset. And I had the opportunity to preach at a fellowship meeting, and I read this verse as part of the message. I don't know how it got into there, and to be called of all men doctor, doctor, because that's where we at oftentimes, and how we want those titles and want all that respect. I heard something Friday that broke my heart. In our conference, the last message in that conference, and it was called an educator's conference, but I'm going to tell you something. Every person in this church could have been there and heard some wonderful things, have been a blessing, helped your soul. But in that, one of the things that was said was in reference to, you know, some people want everybody to respect them, but they don't care if they like them. Do you know when we really love people, they're going to like us? I'm going to be very candidly honest right now. I have great respect for the office of the President of the United States, but I can't hardly stand him. I believe he's arrogant. And I believe he looks down at everybody. Personal opinion. All of you who agree can say amen and get it out of your system. But it's one of those things. But we ought to have that loving attitude whereby people love us, they like us. And I have found that when I like a person, I respect them more highly. Not their office, but the person. Amen? And so here's some people, they want that kind of a thing, but they weren't willing to be the lovers of men's souls. They love prominence among men. Verse number 7, well, we already talked about it. And we find that the Lord then lists some reasons for their impending judgment. Verse 13, we're going to stop and look at today, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." They stop people from God. In verse number 14, there are people who are ritualistic. I'll get the word out here soon enough. But they do not have a reality of God in their hearts. Notice what it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." It's a ritual. They make long prayer, but it does not get through to God. We find in verse number 15, it says there, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And I look at that and I think, here's some people, they want to seek others to be like them. We'll say a little bit more about this later, but it's so important that we seek people to be like Christ, not like us. There is a difference. Verse 23, we find that they lacked mercy. They lacked not only mercy, but judgment and faith. He says, "Ye tithe of men and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." Is it important to tithe? By all means. Is it important to give? Yes. God says much about it. Matter of fact, we find the pouring out of His Spirit in Malachi because of people who tithe. But yet He says there's something even weightier and they have left it out. And they lack some things. They were legalizers, a term that a lot of folks like to throw around any time that you say, "Well, you shouldn't do that." Well, you're a legalizer. But legalism, I believe, is something a little bit different. That He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." A legalizer is one who is more concerned with the outward appearance than they are the inward heart. Brethren, we must be a people who are concerned about what's going on the inside. It is indeed a matter of the heart. That is what we are dealing with. Do you realize today that I have a church full of people come in, they're dressed right, they look right, they sing properly. I mean, at the right time, they do everything the right way. I mean, they greet each other, they smile at each other, they shake each other's hand. But inside, they are wreathing with anger and malice and hatreds. There's something wrong with that scene, isn't there? So we're interested in the heart. But these were interested in the externals. They had no inner walk with God. They had a pride of ancestry. And the true symptoms of what we sometimes call Phariseeism or hypocrisy is that they had a superiority complex. They thought they were better than other folks. Don't miss the point. Christians are to live lives of holiness. But we are to be concerned with looking like Christ. Having that inner nature likened to His. We don't measure by the externals, but by the internals. And it's a sad fact that Jesus pronounced these 8 woes upon these people, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. But brethren, we don't study this, and we just might learn about these people. Can we make some application? Can we come back to this and can we look at some things that maybe we ought to look at? Have we become Pharisaical in our actions or perhaps in our thoughts? Can we let God reveal some things to us? Some things that might be some telltale signs of the encroachment of this Phariseeism that we might repent before it gets completely infected. want to tell you something. When you get to the spot that these men are, you get to the spot where very seldom is there repentance. Very seldom can things be changed in the life. And so I want us to go back and just kind of look at a few factors this morning. I go back to verse number 4 and look at it with me for a moment. It says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They expect people to do a lot of certain things, to meet certain standards. And yet at the same time, when they do not meet those things, they do not look at them in the proper light with what I would call a forgiving attitude. Do you understand this morning that when we see somebody do something wrong, we make judgments about what they did wrong? But do you understand this morning, there's a difference between making a judgment about a decision or an action that a person commits than holding resentment against the person because they did. There's a difference. Often in our dealings, especially with one another, one of the things that happens is we forget we are to hate the sin and love the sinner. You see, it's absolutely amazing to me when I come to John 3:16. It says, for God what? Who? The world. And yet we go to 1 John and the Bible tells us that we are not to love the world. Now that's interesting. We're not to love, really what he's talking about there, the world system. We're not to love the things of the world. But when God talks about where that He so loved the world, He wasn't talking about the world system. He was talking about the people of the world. There is a difference. And so you and I, we are to be like Christ, are we not? And so in that, we're to love folks. And if that's going to take place in our lives, there's one thing that we've got to do with people, and that's learn how to forgive. And we don't learn how to forgive, we start carrying a lot of baggage. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Let's assume this morning I got great resentment towards you, Jeremy. You've done something terrible to me, and I'm really upset at you. It's not happened, we're assuming. Okay? And so I got this resentment. Am I carrying something? I got a bag of resentment I'm carrying over my shoulder. Is that helpful? You say, preacher, it's going to build your leg muscles up. You're going to have more stuff to carry around. I'm going to tell you what's going to make my shoulders mighty sore. Isn't that true? Yeah. And then every time I see Jeremy and I've got this resentment, what do you think I'm going to do? I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to him. Am I helping him and the Lord? No. Not at all. Well, if he's a lost man, are lost people going to do some things that are really stupid? Oh, yeah. Are they going to be folk that we really, boy, I just don't like that about them? Of course. But if we carry that around and we hate the sinner with the sin, we've got a real problem. And by the way, what do? We turn the world off so many times. Let's imagine for a moment a guy comes walking in this morning. He's got on a t-shirt. I mean by that the one with the straps. And, it's cut a little bit low and the hair on his chest is sticking out. And I mean there's a lot of it. He's got a necklace around his chest. I don't know what it has, but let's just assume for a moment it's a cross, but it's got a circle on top. It's a symbol of the devil. Let's assume that this guy is, he's big. He looks mean. He's got tattoos all over him. Matter of fact, he gets kind of close. He doesn't smell like he's had a bath in a few days. We heard him when he pulled up. I mean, we heard him real well because that thing out there was on. And he didn't open the door to get out of his vehicle. He just stepped off of it. Yeah. Got a big chain hanging down here. You're sure in his pockets there's probably brass knuckles. He's got a vest on. They call them originals because it's original. It's never been washed. I'm serious. That's exactly true. I learned all this from your dad, Troy. And his good friend, Red. Who, by the way, was kind of like that. What are we supposed to do with those folks? Oh, they're in here. They're different than us. Yeah. You ever seen one at the gas station and say, boy, I don't want to get near him? Maybe there's four or five of them. By the way, I've learned something about that crowd. They think nobody cares for them. And they're carrying a chip on their shoulder. But if you very nicely say hi to them and mean it out of your heart, you'll not be rejected. I mentioned Red a while ago. Do you know what he said to me one time? Folks in his church accepted him. He felt at home. He came up to me one time and he said, "Preacher, if anybody's ever bothering you, let me know." Oh my goodness. I just had a hitman offer his services free. Aren't you glad I didn't take him up on it? Oh my. He never was completely sanctified before he died. But the love of God's people did something. There was a point where he took his originals and tore off his Hell's Angels stuff. He was one of the original founders. The love of Christ can do some things. We have to have that forgiveness in our hearts. We cannot hold all those things against people. And yet often in our lives, we got to just inspect that all the time because these things come up. These things happen. Do we judge what people do wrong? Yes. And what should be our purpose in it? That we can get together in our so-called little prayer groups. This happens with Christians. Oh, we need to pray for so-and-so. Oh, what'd he do? Oh, yeah, let me tell you. And the prayer never happens, but the gossip does under the name of prayer. Have we been there? Oh, yeah. Yeah. The purpose is really, God allows us to see things that we might, what? Help our brethren. Ye which are spiritual, what are we supposed to do? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. But too often we look at those things in the spirit of pride. That's what the Pharisees did. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. You know, even as a church, if we would have to take what is called church discipline with some, and I've heard a lot of preachers say, boy, churches need to really practice church discipline. They need to be, every person who does something wrong, they need to be kicking them out of the church. I've heard guys really get on this. And the reason, quite frankly, is that they might go to all their preacher buddies and say, man, we are tough in our church. But the real purpose of that is to see the person come back to Christ. And come back into fellowship. And it's a real purpose that they might repent, they might be restored in their fellowship with God and with God's people. But by the grace of God, there we go. So we need to ask ourselves, day after day, am I becoming Pharisaical in my attitude towards others? And we got to put in there the lost and the saved alike. Another thing I see about these folks, and it's very scary, I find in verse number 7 especially, it says, "And greetings in the markets be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." They want to be thought of as the masters, but never the one who is being taught. In other words, they like the top of the heap because there's pride there, but there's no humility. And if there's something that you and I need, it's a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. It is recognizing that we can gain from all situations. Do you understand today that when somebody does you dirty, God has allowed that for a purpose to teach you? Not to be angry and carry around resentment and want to get even. By the way, vengeance is whose? Yeah, once in a while I volunteer for duty, but He's never given it to me. It's His. It's not a duty for me to volunteer for. But even our enemies, so to speak, can teach us things if we allow it. Have you learned something from a child? They can teach us. One of my wife's best friends many, many years ago got saved because of a 4-year-old girl who witnessed to her. Who knows if she even knew the Lord at that time, but she knew from her training what it was all about. Here's the guys who they knew it all. They want to be the teacher, they want to be the rabbi, but oh my, how we can learn from those round about us. And by the way, we can know much of the Word of God and we can know about spiritual things, but not really know the spiritual things. There's a difference. That we might cry out like the Apostle Paul, that I may know Him. Not about Him. Not having Bible knowledge, that is good because we have to know about Him to know Him. But the need is we might really know Him. And these are the kind of guys that, you know, they have an unteachable spirit. They're ones who, because of it, end up criticizing and criticizing over and over. Notice verse number 6 with me. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. They love to be preferred. They love to have things just so that's more important to them than the principles of the Word of God. You know something? We can gather together. I think our building is fairly simple. It's nothing ornate. You haven't seen any gold trimmings too many places, have you? You haven't walked into any statues of people. There are 3 folks that stand in the lobby mighty stiff, and you kind of wonder once in a while. Don't let anybody think that they might be a mortician when you're around, all right? Make sure you keep moving. Keep your hand out, your mouth moving a little bit, your ears open. Amen. Okay. But these are the kind of guys say, you know, everything's got to be just so. You know something? Some of the greatest worship is spontaneous. Some of the greatest things that happen, they just happen. Because we're in tune with God at all times. I'm not mocking tradition by any means. And I think there's some proper ways to do things. But I will guarantee you, I can worship God as well in my blue jeans as I can in a suit. And I believe in looking nice and dressing nice for my Lord and being prepared and all those kinds of things. But hey, listen. We must never choose preference over principle. And I believe that's where they were at. Verse 13, going back there, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." And here's some fellows, because of their attitude, because of their ideas and ideals, they were locking people away from God. They were men who were separated. There were things they would never do. There was things they would never touch. I could imagine what would have happened if they were at the well at Samaria. They wouldn't have even walked through Samaria. No. They would not have allowed the dust of that half-breed country to come upon their feet. God left us here not to be isolated. We need to be insulated with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, but we ought not to choose isolation from people. Open to them, loving to them. You know one of the things I like? It is hard to start a service around here. And one of the things I began to do, because everybody's milling around, everybody's talking with each other and jibber jabbering, all these things going on. And I hope it's about good things, amen? And folks saying, "Hi, man, it's good to see you." That's good, amen? And the bell rings and you don't hear it. We need a louder one in here. You don't hear it. Matter of fact, it is so noisy. I asked Emily, "Did the bell ring yet?" She says, "I don't know. I didn't hear it." And I looked at my clock and I thought, man, maybe it already rang. And I look at it and it was just a little lull and I heard the bell. Did you know most of you didn't shut up? Now, it would be nice in one way, but another way, isn't it wonderful that you don't come in here and you're mad at everybody and you're sitting down pouting? I ain't going to talk to him. We have that loving attitude. Amen? Amen. I have people in this church who are here right now that I know the reason they are is because somebody made them feel welcome. Feel like family. And it cannot just be me. When I see you folks walking around, and by the way, we need to be very careful we don't just get in our little group, you know. Because then we become isolationists. And just, you know, going about that. Some of you, I've told you, you are our welcoming committee. You've never been voted on. You just decided to do it. Oh, did you know that's what we all should be doing? Amen? What are you talking about, preacher? All of these things we're talking about is we need to be constantly looking, am I becoming hypocritical? Am I becoming like the Pharisees? When we look at these accusations and we see these woes and we see these things, and especially in Matthew 23, we need to stop and look. Because we can become repulsive or repel people away from Christ instead of to Him. Amen? Really? Do you know something? When you folks make somebody feel so welcome, I can stand and preach the truth of sin and of righteousness and the judgment to come, and they feel like somebody's doing it because they really care. It is so important. And I hope you understand. I hope it shows that I do. I hope that comes through, because if it doesn't, it's of no avail. That's how we need to be. Amen? Oh man, guard us from Phariseeism, hypocrisy, this thing that we think we're better than somebody else, so we got it more put together, we're more knowledgeable, or we're just whatever. Needs to be in the right spot. Amen, D? Just a great spot. And by the way, I want to commend some of you, and I'm not pulling out names right now, but I want to say many of you are such great examples of this that you teach me day after day. And I just say thank you. Because you are an inspiration, especially in that area. Father, today, bless work in our hearts. I pray in the hour to follow that you would just really speak to us. Oh God, that you would open the words and that you would just be seen magnificently. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, morning service will be in Hebrews chapter 9. The last two verses will be our main text.